Super Fantasy Football Show.
Come back down to Planet Rando, Brian.
Oh my gosh, a domestic abuser.
What is it? He just sent a dick pic to Jerry. What are you? A perp or something?
Are you too busy to put your blackout dates on the Google Doc? I'm 1,000% sure you and your little butt buddy Randy have already talked about this, so.
Never. We would never
collude. You fucking canoodling.
No collusion.
We would
no
never collude, John.
Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs. It's going to be probably the widest margin victory. I mean.
Hey, Matt, shrimp out of landlocked state, sign me up.
I don't think Randy's going to have a first round pick the entire decade of the 2020.
That's a guy that keeps his fall free. He knows it's football season.
Right.
And, you know, what's up with some of these people planning trips to Italy during football season?
Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
Randy, it's my least favorite time of the year. Every podcast is probably my least favorite.
It's the toughest week for me to follow. There's so much going on throughout the day. And all day at work, I kept sitting there just in between phone calls. Bzz,
bzz, bzz. Oh my God, yeah.
Cuckoo. And I had no idea what was going on until I got in the car after work. Uh-huh. My dad like pulls up behind me. He's like, what are you doing? Like, what? Pull out. I'm like, I can't. I'm going through. We have like six trades going on. I have no idea what's going on right now.
It's fucking madness. It's always crazy. I never know how to talk about it. So we'll do our best to get through it today. You've been surprisingly quiet on the trade front.
I made all my moves. Over the last couple weeks, there was nothing else to do. I had some inquiries.
Those were your best moves.
Yeah, my best moves. I had some inquiries throughout the day, and none came to any fruition. One person I told to fuck off.
I told some people to fuck off today. That's for sure.
And that here's the weird thing.
Uh-huh.
The person I told to F off was one of the people that seemed like they were looking for a trade, but then also a few minutes later went and made a trade, which to me sounds like they're tanking.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
I'm a little confused.
Yeah. There are some really interesting moves out there. I feel like, yeah, a lot to talk about there. We'll get into that. Before we do, how about we start off with last week's games? Huh, Rando?
Cool. That's...
That's really what all this is about at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So,
get that scoreboard up here, Johnny. Bear with me.
Yeah, pull it up. It's all good.
I mean,
some big news. We finally are down to only one winless team. A lot of teams kind of made some. I think this is a pretty defining week because. Looking at the scoreboard and looking at the trades that we're going to talk about later,
yes.
I feel like a lot of the answers to why those trades happen are because of this week. So
correct.
Let's dive in. First, let's start off with
Get the Battle of the Basement out of the way?
Let's do Battle of the Basement, yeah, because this was probably
Let's get out of that, because the other three will lead us right into our next segment.
Yes, absolutely. So great call. Battle of the Basement. Really lived up to its name. The commission noted that in the Discord. The final score being 66.5 is the winning team to the losing Hawktua's 50 points. And so the Real Americans get their first one of the season, Rando, 1-6. I don't know if you still have a shot at the playoffs, but you're still alive, I think.
Yeah. Let me take a peek. As of this morning when I looked, I don't know if the thing was updated. Yes, still 1%.
There you go. Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance, but I will give it up for Hawktua. They were never out of it.
They were never out of it.
It was a nail-biter all the way to Monday Night Football. We both had a few players playing, and I was sweating this one out a little bit. I wanted the win bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it means anything, but I just didn't want to go winless.
Well, saying that they were never out of it is such a nice way to put this shit show of a game. I mean, once again, though, with Hawktua, it's this sick combination of bad luck and also some shitty players, you know? CJ Stroud only getting 4 points. That's fucking insane. I think David Montgomery got hurt. Debo Samuel also might have gotten hurt. He put up zero.
Yeah, so. Debo got hurt. Yep. Travis Kelce with 3 points. Devonta Smith, a half a point.
Yeah.
And friend of the pod, Austin Eckler, who, Austin, if you're listening, DM us. We're going to be in D.C., buddy. Would love to meet you in person.
Oh, my God. Would love to have you on the pod. Huge fan.
First drink is on me, Austin Eckler.
Huge fans. Would love to get him on the pod. Thank you for throwing that out there.
But 2 points out of Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Unrelated, John. How excited were you? George Pickens, 19 and a half points.
Had holy shit. What a fucking game. It was, oh man. I'm starting to get excited about the Steelers again. And I'm scared.
My only one thing I'm upset about, and it has nothing to do with the boys' performance on the field on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fermani Brothers jumped the gun.
Yeah.
One game, and you're going to give Russell Wilson a sandwich? How long did it take Roethlisberger to get the Roethlisberger? You know, the guy wins multiple Super Bowls, and it still took him until his second Super Bowl to get that sandwich.
That's a good point, although I think these days they're more thinking of the marketing side of, holy shit, we got to ride any momentum we get because he could suck next week.
But yeah, I'm glad George Pickens had a great day. Najee had a great day for me.
Yeah, he did.
6 points from Najee.
Yeah, even the Steelers shine in this matchup.
The one touchdown was a garbage touchdown within the last 20 seconds of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Najee taking a Champions Club leap.
Yes, he did. That was very cool.
The Champions Club, John.
Jumped right in the seats. I thought that was awesome. I was also surprised he only had 16 fantasy points because watching the game, I swore he got like 25.
Early on, I thought he was like, I think in the second quarter, I'm like, I think Najee has like 80 yards. And then I looked and wasn't anywhere close.
Interesting. Well, the Steelers shined in both of these matchups. But, I guess the battle of the basement is decided because this is the only matchup between you two. So this could determine the first two spots in the draft.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That'll be interesting. Next, let's move on to Denny Irvine's Gatorade and Oink. What do you say?
That sounds good to me. I'll tell you what. Oink came to play.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And my reverse jinx worked. I believe you picked Oink this week, and I picked Denny Irvine's Gatorade in the reverse jinx. Well, I'd like to say, Tom, it was all because of me. It was Rando all along, but I can't take full credit for this loss.
No, I kind of like giving you full credit because this loss was huge. Denny Irvine Gatorade, 115.5 to Oink's 130. And then Tom sold off his single best player this week. So your reverse jinx got first place Tom or Denny Irvine's Gatorade, 5-2 in the East Division, to kind of start tanking.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
What I'm still confused is the why, unless Tom doesn't believe he has the firepower to go up against you or the Running Fools or Oink down the road. I'm just a little surprised right now at this point. Tom seems to be, unless this is all ruse.
Well, yeah, I guess we shouldn't get too much into it right now, but those are definitely some questions I have as well. So we'll get into that.
Kudos to Oink. Hell of a game. Just go through the roster a little bit. Some shining stars.
Yeah, please.
Friend of the pod, close personal friend, Josh Allen,
mm-hmm.
20 points, Kenneth Walker, 21 points, Aaron Jones, 18 and a half, AJ Brown, 16 and a half, Kareem Hunt, 20 points.
Yeah, that's huge.
Solid, outing for, Oink, and Oink did leave some points on the bench. Not that it mattered. Could have benched Ramondre Stevenson, who had a measly 2 points, and started Rashad White for Tampa Bay, but we only deal on absolutes on this podcast, Johnny.
That's right. I was interested to see. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Continue.
I was interested to see Jordan Mason on his bench this week. I thought he'd been a relatively productive player for Oink, but maybe some of those other guys stepped up.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but to jump over to Denny Irvine's Gatorade, mm-hmm. he still had a pretty strong outing, missed out on – he didn't leave really any points on the bench other than Kyle Pitts at 9.5, which wouldn't help the cause, but Brandon Ayuk with – I think – you know what? Debo, I don't believe, got hurt. Isn't it Ayuk that tore his ACL during the game, or his MCL?
Yes, he's out.
I believe Ayuk is the one that got hurt.
I think Debo is also hurt, but not nearly as bad as Brandon Ayuk.
But Tank Dell 0 points, Ayuk 3 points. You know, Tom didn't have a bad outing.
No, it was a pretty good game.
He didn't have the firepower to outscore Oink. Oink came to play. I'm proud of the commissioner. 5-2. David's right back in this thing, and I know David is hungry for a win.
He is. I do still feel that I don't know. Well, back to the trades a little bit, I guess. I do feel that Tom could be overreacting because, like, he put up 115 and Tank Dell got 0 points. So if you had just put in even a decent player, you know, you're closer to 120. That's
Kyle Pitts in. That's 9.5 right there. You're right in this game.
You're right in this game. So, yeah, just a really, really interesting.
Instead of tinkering, Tom, today. You should call him Nervous Nelly.
Yeah, I'd say
so. Not that I want to float right over this, but Tommy Boy, if you're listening. Happy birthday, buddy. The big 3-2.
Happy birthday.
It's a big day. Tom, we are recording this on Tuesday. I know you listen to this on Wednesday, so you'll hear this one day late. But happy birthday, big guy.
Happy birthday. Sorry for shitting on you for the next 45 minutes. Next up, let's get to the Running Fools versus Altman & Sons Incorporated. Altman & Sons lost this matchup 104-163. That might be a season high, Rando. 163?
That's pretty high. That's up there.
That's up there.
I'll have to listen to it again or look at it again, but I thought that the highest score was 164 or something.
Okay.
I don't exactly remember, but yeah, that's definitely up there. I'd say definitely it could be the highest score. I don't know.
Well, and it swung the point standings, so we'll get to that later. But now the first place in points, Running Fools, 5-2, second in the West Division. And yeah, I mean, once again, second week in a row, they've really been firing on all cylinders. I think before I saw 12 touchdowns in the app. I'm not gonna look through again. Just the desktop doesn't tell you, but still a decent week out of Altman and Sons Incorporated. As of, you know, this past game, some really good players on that squad. Marvin Harrison had a bit of a down game. I think he might have gotten hurt. I don't quite remember. Sure. But, yeah, pretty 19 out of Kyler Murray is pretty good. 22 out of Breece Hall. Brian Robinson Jr., 13. James Conner, 16. So it's tough. It's a tough loss, but it's a really good win for the Running Fools. Just a tough matchup for Altman & Sons Incorporated. If they wanted to keep their season hopes alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other thoughts on that one, Rando?
Just looking at the box scores from this week, Brian had 1, 2, 3, 4 players that scored over 20 points, most notably being Baker Mayfield, the number 2 fantasy football quarterback in our league, and Joe Mixon had 24 points. Brian also left. Oh, Brian, I completely forgot. Brian has 3 quarterbacks on his roster.
He does.
So that wouldn't have helped him, or wouldn't have added insult to injury. But
sure.
Trying to see. Pretty solid day from Brian's team. Kyren Williams, who I could have kept. Brian loves reminding me of that, 19 points. the Sun God, Amon-Ra St. Brown, with 21 points.
I will note.
Yes.
Scary Terry left on the bench, even though Brian was bitching about wanting an extra flex spot. Mm-hmm. You know what? Then put him in the fucking lineup, Flaherty. He got 12 points. What's Tony Pollard doing in there? Come on.
Then if you look at Allman and Sons, again, Eric had a pretty solid day, all things considered. Just, yeah, missed on Devontae Adams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Chase Brown. What are you doing starting Chase Brown? He's a bum.
He's a bum. You put Brock Bowers in that lineup, you know, that can make a huge difference.
The hell of a lot closer.
Well, be that as it may, Auburn and Sons fall to third in the East Division. And like I said, Running Fools second in the West Division, first overall in points now. And now let's get to the final game. Technical fouls fell 89 to the Iron City Oliphants 120. And this one had me sweating, Rando.
Early on, I was a little nervous.
As of Monday, I was not totally sure I was going to win this football game. But Lamar Jackson got 34 points, and that was pretty much that. So, tough loss for the technical fouls, though. Only 89 points. Pretty typical out of such a clown car organization, I would say. But, you know, just didn't come to play. And nothing on the bench either. They were fraudulent 4-2. They were a fraudulent 4-0, actually. And they fall to 4-3 in the East Division. And the Iron City Oliphants, 6-1, are first in the West Division. Anything else, Rando?
Just some notable scores from around the league.
Give it to us.
Again, you already hit it on it. You already mentioned it for the Iron City Oliphants. Lamar Jackson, 34 points. Jahmyr Gibbs, 29 points against Minnesota. That was a great game, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Garrett Wilson, 10.5 points. Bucky Irving. I'm not exactly 100% sure, John, who Bucky Irving is.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 14.5 points. And
he's a long-time Oliphant.
Ebert, 17.
That was huge. We really needed that out of him. Because I think Chez had J.K. Dobbins, Zay Flowers, and his kicker left to play on Monday night. And I just had Lamar and Bucky Irving.
Continue your thought.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to point out, Chez also started an obscure running back in the flex, Tank Bigsby from Jacksonville. Had 23 points. Never heard of him. I need to start watching some more Jaguars football.
You don't know Tank Bigsby?
I do not.
He's probably the best player on this team now. Huh?
Don't tell me you do either.
I study vigorously. No, I don't actually.
I'm glad someone cares for the show. big day out of Saquon, 25 points against his former New York Giants.
Yeah, that was huge.
Aside from that, I mean, I believe Jaden Daniels got hurt.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's...
So, I mean, Chez did 15 points on the bench with Joe Burrow being on the bench, but you can't blame him for starting Jaden Daniels. Jaden's been pretty hot all season, number 3 ranked fantasy quarterback. But, I mean, he makes one. Well, would that have helped? Would that only would have added 10 points to his score? So, yeah, still wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah. Theme of the season for that kid.
You want to talk about a poverty franchise, man. That is a poverty franchise.
No, since you mentioned that, let's go ahead and get into some of the trades, some of the trade talks, because I want to stipulate that everything that I'm about to say about all these other teams, you are still far and away just the absolute worst fantasy manager I've ever seen in my life. So I just want you to know you have that crown.
John, I love that crown. I wear that crown. I honor it. But I want to tell you one thing. And I know I keep saying it. You can say whatever, not you specifically, because you're in the same boat as I am. All these people can talk shit all they want. But you know what they'll never be able to take away from guys like me and guys like you?
What's that?
they'll never be able to take this fantasy football championship ring away.
That's right.
Guys like Tom can bitch and moan all they want. Until you win one, Tom, I don't want to hear shit. And surprise, surprise, our lovable Buffalo Bills are already in tank mode. He can't win the big one, and he can't win the big one this year. And I still got it, Tom. I still got one more than you, baby. But yes, you are right. The Real Americans are a poverty franchise. And behind the scenes, we're working on something to maybe turn this ship around.
Oh, man. I kind of hope that his team just goes on a fucking run and he still gets second place.
Hey, that'd be great, too.
That would be
But
amazing.
Yeah, continue. I'm excited to deep dive into these trades because
there
were so many of them.
So
I say that like there was 30. There was a handful.
It felt like a lot. I felt like Adam fucking Schefter all day. On my goddamn phone. So okay, so I was gonna start with Sunday.
Right?
Or yes, I was gonna start with Monday.
Okay.
So hold on, let me get my I took screenshots of them in order as they happened. I think
the first one was Monday at, ironically, Monday at 9:11 a.m.
Well, it wasn't ironic. It was orchestrated that way because that's when I always do my best work.
Never forget.
Yes. So the very first trade, I would say, of Trade Bonanza 2024 was one of my trades with Eric. This ended up being a pivotal trade. I sent him a second round pick and he sent me Brian Robinson Jr. As a loan. So I thought that was a pretty good trade for me. I felt like I needed another running back. I was very self-conscious. I didn't love the way I felt on Monday, being so unsure of if I was going to win this game. And I felt like if I had just one more running back, that would do it. So I got Brian Robinson Jr. So,
and I don't think you overpaid. It's a loaner deal. You're making a push. I think it's a solid move.
It's my first trade of the year. So I was pretty happy with that. And then
just out of curiosity, did you, because I only can see what the actual final trade was there any pushback from Eric for a second round pick, or did the pick start? Like, where did the pick start? How did you end up coming up with the second round pick as like fair market value? Because it seems lately this season, as compared to other seasons, the market seems to be set. Most teams are willing to part with a third or a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, were you able to get a second round, if you don't mind?
Well, no, I'm glad you asked because I did put thought into this. And ultimately, I'll pull up the trade list because when I was looking to make a trade, I was trying to figure out, you know, who would be selling, that they'd be willing to give out a loaner, who already has a loaner, you know, trying to just figure out what my options are, basically. Who are my trade partners? And so I was looking at like the trade list that David has in the draft thing. Mm-hmm. And once I figured out I wanted Brian Robinson Jr., just looking at the other trades, other loan deals, I felt like, so Josh Jacobs went for a fifth and sixth round pick next year. And he also went with Chris Godwin and Thompson over Jerome Ford. And James Cook was the second loaner and he went for a third round pick next year. And Trey McBride. So I kind of felt like a second round pick was fair market for this particular player. So that's all I offered and he accepted right away. So maybe he got me. Maybe I could have offered less. But that's how we landed on that. So
interesting. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes just to get your way, yeah, you can shop around, you can go to three different stores, but sometimes it's better. You're already here. Why waste the gas?
Yeah, and
put your best foot forward, make the deal, buy it now.
Right, and that's I try to, you know, when I make a trade, I try to go in with a good offer. You know, you don't want to insult people. You know,
correct.
So maybe he would have given him up for less, but That's what we went with. So that was the first trade of Trade Bonanza. And then this afternoon in quick succession, 11:23, there were two trades. And first we had Eric and Tom. Eric gets Tom's third round picks in 2025 and 2026 for Marvin Harrison Jr. and Chuba Hubbard. That's interesting. That signals to me that Tom is, I don't know if that's a win now move. It could be, but Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm surprised that Eric gave up on him so quickly.
And it seems like that was not a loan.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I'm trying to see here. What am I doing?
What are you doing?
Wait. Okay, so this trade is a third and
it's a third round.
Oh, I'm looking at another trade. I'm looking at another trade.
Okay.
My apologies. That's fine. Okay. But yeah, that not necessarily a win now trade from Tom, but definitely at this point it seems like Tom's making some moves.
Mm-hmm.
The Marvin Harrison move seems like more of a long-term move, like a potential keeper possibly.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm kind of surprised that Eric traded him already. Although I don't have his roster in front of me, so I don't know who else he's trying to keep.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, not a bad move.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. And then the other trade at that hour, I'll text you this one too. Two trades. Oh, fuck, where'd I put that screenshot? God damn it.
Are you on the other Eric one?
That's what I'm trying to get to, yeah.
Okay, I have that one up now.
All right, you want to read out that one for us?
I think for the Hall. Okay. So, Eric receives... Wait, this is kind of weird.
Oh, okay. I got it. So, what does...
No, oh, okay. I see it.
So... David is sending a third round 2025, which becomes a second round if Oink wins the championship, and a 10th round pick in 2025. And in return, Oink gets CeeDee Lamb as a loan and Davante Adams.
And Davante Adams was outright.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Hey, I don't know who's at the helm here. I don't know if it's Altman or Altman or the Suns, but Eric's building a lot of draft capital here, and I like it. Eric's looking busy during the draft. I'm looking to just relax, but...
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a pretty good price, too. I feel like Dave got a better deal on that than I did, so good on you, Dave. That's a good one.
I love a good escalator. Or like contingent, whatever you want to call it, where there's a contingency.
Yes. Oh, that's
I like a good contingency based trade. I like it.
Yeah, big fan of that. And then next at 1:53 p.m. Brian and David. This was an interesting one too, I thought. Brian is sending Bijan and who the fuck is that guy? Charbonnet.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. And his third round pick for CMC and Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one?
I want to know, what does Brian know that the rest of us don't know? Christian McCaffrey is fresh off his Achilles magic wizard doctor in Germany and hasn't played a down all season.
Mm-hmm.
You have a sure thing in Bijan Robinson right now. Why mess up that mojo?
It seems like if this doesn't work out, I think it's going to come down to hubris ultimately. Mm-hmm. You dreamed a little too big. You feel a little too close to the sun. You thought you were a little too good of a GM. But that being said, if it works out, then that's an incredible fucking lineup. So, and it's already like an exceptional lineup. So I think ultimately, even if it doesn't work out, I think it is just kind of a wing and a prayer for Brian that if it does work out, that's a star-studded lineup.
I like the move.
I still don't love it for Brian. I do think
I like it for David.
I like it for David, yeah. Yeah, I feel like
I think David just adding Bijan is a solid move.
Mm-hmm. And I'm who's that other fucking guy? Zach something.
Now, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
There seems to be a conflict here. If I'm reading this right.
Okay.
How can... No. My apologies. I'm wrong. I read it wrong. I thought David had traded his third round pick to Eric, which turns into a second if David wins. And I thought in this trade, David was also sending that same third round pick to Brian, but I was wrong.
Right. So Brian is sending his own third round pick to David. That's right.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay. So just closing the loop once again on Zach Charbonnet. He is a running back for the Seattle Seahawks. So I assume he's the backup to Kenneth Walker.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I still think I like that trade more for David because Bijan, that's a potential keeper too, I think, as long as his mm-hmm. Leonard deal. But so yeah. And then what was our next trade?
David?
With me and Tom is this one. So Tom is sending me Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay.
And yep. I'm sending him my 2025 first round pick, my 2025 third round pick, and he also gets Jahmyr Gibbs at the keeper time, and he gets to pick another player, and I get to protect one player. So I honestly still feel anxious about this one. I think it's a really win now move, but I'm worried that it's just big. I'm not used to making such big moves.
I like it. That's a win now move from you. My where I'm confused is why is Tom trading? So Tom made moves that sound to me like he's still in the hunt. Like mm-hmm. he's still making a battle for it.
Yeah.
But then you go and trade your best player. So Tom's sending me mixed emotions right now. Is he making moves for this year or is he trying to make moves for next year?
Yeah, and, you know, being the person that orchestrated this trade with Tom, there's a lot of nerves there. A lot of lack of confidence, I would say. Doesn't fully believe in his squad, which, again, is interesting. Like we talked about earlier, could have easily put up 120 points this week and been...
It's been the story of his season, though. Or he was counting himself out in week two. He was done.
Mm-hmm.
Went on this beautiful run, ends up, what is he now, 5-2?
And he's been a very legitimate team, basically, I think, since that first or second week.
We've been singing your praises on this pod, Tom. Every time we think we've counted you out, you come right back. You're like Beetlejuice. You say Tom Haley three times, he's right back in your fucking face.
All we've been doing is lifting you up on this pod just week after week, and you pull this kind of shit on us.
And you wonder why soulless. We try to cut you back down, bring you back down to Planet Rando here, Tommy.
Oh, man. Well,
good move for you. I like the moves. You're stockpiling. You're going for it.
Yeah, I like the look of Derrick Henry in my lineup. That makes me feel a lot better about my team. But let's talk a little bit more about the behind the scenes trades that maybe didn't happen, mm-hmm. trades that could have, would have, should have.
So, for those of you that haven't been paying attention, where Is in general? Where did he?
He put that in fantasy football, not trades.
Okay, I'm going to read. There was a note from the commissioner's office. And then, John, you can further go into as why this.
Straight from the desk of our alleged commissioner.
Yes. You know what? I hope when he typed this, he handed Allison his phone. And he, like, just strutted back and forth around his, like, kitchen table with his hand on his chin, just stroking his chin as he said it. And she just typed it all. But so from the commish, by now, everyone should know I basically accept any type of trade from a creative level for this league. However, today I had to make the rare decision to reject one trade. This was an instance where one team tried to revise terms of a trade that was already accepted in process through here and ESPN to offer a better pick and retract the loan deal in order to try to loan another player. Because everything was already accepted and done, it is not something that can be reversed or changed. I won't say who it was, but I look forward to hearing them slander me via Spotify tomorrow morning. Commish, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think we just want some clarity here. What are you talking about? When have we ever... You know, if you got a problem, say it right to my face, David. Don't pussyfoot around it and say who you're talking about and air it out. You're the commish. What's anyone going to do? No one's going to do anything to you.
Well, Rando, I'm here to tell you that I... Your podcast host, co-host, am the got my verb tenses mixed up. I'm who he's talking about in this.
You are the perpetrator?
I'm the alleged, the fucking, you know, dark sinner over here who committed this, you know, egregious sin against humanity for this trade that I wanted to make. Do you want to hear this trade offer?
I would love to hear it. I got a little bit of footnotes from your trade partner earlier in the day, but I would love to hear it.
Well,
because I'm still a little confused as to what all transpired.
So there were two trades today that I made earlier that ended up not happening. They ended up being completely void. So I'm only going to talk about one of those trades because only one of those is actually important. And it's actually one that we've talked about already on this very podcast. It was the very first trade of Trade Bonanza, my trade with Eric for the Brian Robinson Jr. keeper or a loaner deal. So I sent him a second round pick this year, and in return, I get Brian Robinson Jr. for this year and then send him back to Eric. You only get one loaner. That was my one loaner deal. Okay, send it through, no problem. Okay. Then a trade was in the works this morning, and ultimately that deal was only going to happen if it was a loaner deal. So I went back to Eric. I said, hey, how would you like to revise this trade? What if I gave you a first round draft pick next year, but I get to keep Brian Robinson Jr. on my squad? So it's no longer a loaner deal. And I can pursue this other option for my loaner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we texted this through to David, and it was like alarm bells going off. Holy shit, who do you think you fucking are? You know, calling me the worst names you've ever fucking heard. Like I'm some fucking criminal over here trying to revise this contract that I made. I'm not trying to get anything over anyone, okay? So that's what happened. And I guess I've already touched on my side of things a little bit, but tell me your thoughts on this.
John, is someone who has been blatantly harassed in this league for absurd and crazy trades, I've been allowed to run rampant on this league for years.
Yes.
No one has said a word. Every trade has been allowed. Nothing has been vetoed.
This kid doesn't have a first round draft pick in the 2020s.
Correct. But Commissioner Galanzi did take a stance this year. He enacted the Randy Rule, which is essentially puts me in an SMU type death penalty situation, which I understand. I'm fine for it. I'm finally glad you had some balls, David, and you stood up to me. I'm your Jerry Jones. I'll take it. But, John, I got to agree with David on this. I don't want to. It doesn't bring me any pleasure. But a trade was agreed upon. The deal was done. It was everything was finalized, and it moved forward. There's no takey backsies.
Okay, but if I had traded him just any old fucking player, and he traded me player B, if we decide later on we don't like that deal, we can simply trade them back. How is this any different? The trade window has not closed. We've entered into a contract with one another for our initial trade. How come we can't then open up those negotiations during the trade period? The trade window is open until noon tomorrow, noon on Wednesday.
I'm not saying you're wrong, and I agree with you. I'm not saying you're completely wrong. I also look at it from a point of view that the commissioner, I get that he's got to keep some form of order.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily have a rule for this.
We do not.
So with that being said, I would have let it go. I would have processed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have made an addendum or a rule for next season that once a trade is agreed upon by both parties, whatever, it cannot be reversed in such manner. But, I mean, I don't like that David took a stand on it, but I get it.
It just seems fucked up to me. It just really does.
Because
it's already been processed. Like, what does that fucking mean? You got to get out the fucking printing press to reprocess things?
Yeah, to get out his typewriter.
You can't just... It wasn't even in the Excel doc as of 1 p.m. today. Got to reprocess. Can't reprocess. Goodness gracious.
I'm trying to see if I'm... So you amended your deal, and then he draws a hard line in the sand. It was already accepted and processed. So what's to theoretically say that you and Eric tonight do the trade in reverse? Okay. So then it negates what you did earlier.
Yeah.
You make the trade.
Right.
And then you make your other trade with Eric as you were going to amend it.
That's what I thought would happen.
I see it from both sides of the coin. I agree with you that I would have allowed it. I think it should have been allowed. I also agree with the commissioner, though, putting his foot down finally. If you got to take it, I got to take it. And guess what, John? You're going to bend over and enjoy it.
Fuck it. Whatever. I got a deal done. And I'm going to wipe the floor with fucking all of them. And yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Although I will also add in the deal that I made with Tom. I was very close with making a deal with my original trade partner today, but they kind of show their true colors, I would say. And they're fucking dead to me, and I'm going to destroy them this year. So,
well, what happened with that?
We don't need to get into the nitty gritty. I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to name names yet. But
show their true colors.
Dead to me.
All right. Hey.
All right, Rando. Let's talk about SRK a little bit. I don't know that we really have anything to talk about.
Hey. Look, I would love to talk SRK, but as I look at this calendar, boys, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. We are 17 days away, boys. And we still have not bought tickets. Ticket Czar, we need to get on this. You're making Uncle Randy anxious over here.
So your team buy tickets.
I like to know that we got a ticket to the game.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
I
feel kind of agnostic about it ultimately. Ultimately, I feel that I don't care enough to be the one making the decision. So, but I feel like I can see both sides, but I'm not totally sure what the vision of the people who want to wait is right now.
Well, here's my thing, and here's how I look at it.
Uh-huh.
We can wait to buy tickets closer to game time. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But spending an extra $50 to $30 now isn't going to make or break my trip.
Sure.
I mean, I get everyone's in a different financial situation all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But I've spent way too much money on this tailgate already that hasn't even happened yet to be worried about an extra $50 because we bought the ticket 17 days early. It's irrelevant. It all comes out in the soup. What's the difference?
Comes out in the soup. I love it.
You don't know how many times at work I hear that all day.
That's so
it all comes out in the soup.
Well, yeah, still no tickets. Interested to see what happens there. Ultimate, yeah, like I said, I don't really care. I think, well, maybe Rando, maybe if you care, you need to stage a coup, actually.
No. I've been handling the tailgate. I don't want to stage any coup.
Okay, good. Keep your paws.
I will tell you, though, Johnny, if we have any vegans coming on this trip, they're going to be very upset when they get to the tailgate. If you don't like roast beef, ham, or turkey, then get the fuck out.
I'm looking forward to it. What else do we have any? What's that game called? Cornhole?
Cornhole?
Yeah.
I'm planning on bringing the cornhole down. Trying to think what
else.
Table
for some drinking games?
I was bringing the tables, some coolers, went and bought a new speaker for the trip. Love speakers.
Do you buy a new speaker just for every fucking tailgate?
Hey, you can never have enough portable speakers. No, the one that I had for the pit game I thought was too small, wasn't loud enough. I want to hear that Pittsburgh polka blaring in the parking lot. And the other one I have is too big and not a portable one.
Well,
so I needed like a mid-sized portable one that's pretty loud. We can blare that polka. And I wanted something this year that had a mic hookup to it.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. All right, I like it. That sounds good to me.
Also, I'm not going to give anything away. Went and bought some new additions for the tailgate gear.
Ooh.
Those will be unveiled at the tailgate. Nothing too exciting. Don't get your hopes up, but just something I thought was fun and neat.
Okay. Is there anything we need to bring to the tailgate with us?
Like nothing. Just bring yourself.
Okay. All right, well.
If it's all squared away, the only thing we got to do is we got to pick booze.
All right. And you'll like send out Venmos and stuff.
Wasn't planning on it, but I can.
Yeah, we'll split that one, but don't worry.
Yeah, but then I gotta wait for Tom for like 6 months and Tom's gonna be like, oh, why do I gotta pay you? I only had one sandwich off the tray. But if anyone has any opinions on liquor, beer, booze, wine, I don't know what you boys are drinking these days, let me know so we can make sure we have that all on ice ready for you.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. I know the rest of the crew is. Let's switch back to let's get into next week's games. What do you say?
I'm ready. What do you want to kick off with?
How about we do Hawk Tua versus Oink?
All right. Let me bring that matchup up.
So currently projected Hawk Tua again 0-7, projected 93.6 to Oink's 132.1. That's quite the spread. And the new and improved Oink. I think not much to talk about in this one. I think Oink takes this one.
I'm with you, John. Not a whole lot here to dissect. I think Oink runs away with it in a landslide. 93.6 projected for Hawk Tua. If he can get there, that's a great bounce back, but I don't know that Hawk Tua has the firepower to even come close. I could be wrong. Barring some kind of catastrophe, David Steen should obliterate him. I am looking at it now. David has two. Aaron Jones is listed as questionable, but that looks like he's going through a hamstring issue. And George Kittle is also listed as questionable. And that is a sprained foot. Sprained foot.
Oh, okay. All right.
So sprained. That happens to me just by walking every day. What's a sprained foot? You're a professional athlete. Your feet hurt.
Get it together.
Get some orthotics.
All right, let's get into our next matchup. We'll go to your game, the Real Americans, 1-6 versus the Technical Fouls, 4-3. The Fouls are projected 111. I believe they consider themselves contenders this year. So they're going up against, again, the Real Americans, projected 95.5. Randa, what do you think? You think you'll be able to squeak a win out? We have previous matchups now, so Technical Fouls beat you 110-75 last time, Rando.
Where's that at? I didn't even know that was a thing.
On the desktop, it shows previous matchup.
I'm on my desktop. Where are you seeing that, buddy?
If you go the box score for your game. Yeah. I don't know. It just says previous matchups there for me.
Goddamn Steve Jobs computer. look, John, I'm going to lay it to you straight. According to ESPN, 37% chance to win. Matthew has a 63% chance to win. Matthew's projected 111.2. I'm projected 95.5. The Real American finally got a win under his belt. I'm not saying we're back, baby, but back-to-back wins would be a statement. And, you know, from one poverty franchise to another, I would love to do it against the Technical Fouls. You know what? Fuck the Fouls. I'm coming for your ass, Matthew. I'm coming for it.
Oh, man. I would honestly love that more than anything else. The Fouls have been in a bit of a slump, I would say. They get 89 points last week. They haven't gotten over 100 since week three.
Shellacked.
95 points week four, followed by 91, 77, and 89. So, you know, I think if we're going by projections, if he's in that same range and you can get up to 95.5, I think you have a chance. And you know what? After that terrible week you had last week, I'm going to say, fuck it. I'm riding the Rando train too. Two wins in a row, 2-6 Real Americans.
I want to look real quick before we go to the next game. I want to see the last time I had a game like this, I bounced back. I had 56.5 points in week three against Denny Irvine's Gatorades.
Mm-hmm. Abysmal.
And I bounced back with 109.5 in a loss to Oink.
Ooh, there you go. So
that hey, could do you it. Never know.
That could do but it.
Let's hope I'm going to go give a rousing speech to the boys. We'll get them all fired up for this week. And Matt, I'm coming for that ass, baby. I'm coming for it.
All right.
Hide
let's see.
Kids, hide your wives. That ass is mine.
Well, it doesn't get any more explicit than that. Let's move on to Denny Irvine's Gatorade versus Altman & Sons Incorporated. Two teams that have kind of, well, one team that's really sold off and one that's kind of had a weird mix of moves. Projected very even, though. 100.1 for Denny Irvine to 100.3 for Altman & Sons Incorporated. Tom still has an empty slot there, so I guess he'll be projected probably, you know, 7 points more, 9 points more.
Well, that's what I'm trying to see. So the outlook projection for Chuba Hubbard is 11.1. So assuming that's who Tom pops in that lineup, Tom's only looking to win by like 11, 12 points. For a team that made some moves today, I'm not exactly sure that, you know, I don't necessarily think Tom has this one in the bag. This is a coin flip, really.
Yeah, Albin and Sons, they had a pretty good lineup before, and they sold a lot, but I still feel like they have some sneaky pieces there. Obviously, Kyler Murray can pop off anytime. Breece Hall, James Conner, those guys can put up a lot of points in one game. Yeah, I think this one's tough. I think on average, I would say Danny Irvine's Gatorade is a little bit better on paper, so I think I'll roll with that. I'll pick Danny Irvine's Gatorade.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I don't think I need it this week. So I don't think the reverse jinx is in play. You know, boy.
That's such a reverse jinx thing to say.
Look, I had this before I looked at the numbers and went through all the trades. I had my projection or predictions on who I thought was going to win. I had Denny Irvine's Gatorades, and I'm not going to do it.
Turn and
I really
heel.
don't think there's enough of a spread here. He's putting all his faith into a Carolina Panthers running back, which that to me sounds like a mistake. You should have kept Derrick Henry, Tom. I'm going with Altman and Sons in the surprise victory.
Well, that would be very interesting. That would move Albin and Sons up to 3-5 and 5-3 for Danny Irvine's Gatorade. We'll see what happens, though. I like the Gatorade in that one. And for our last matchup, I suppose this one is
The game of the week.
Running Fools, second place in the West Division versus first place in the West Division, Iron City Olyphants. Right now, this one is projected to be a barn burner. 125.4 for the Running Fools to 127.8 for the Olyphants. So, 2 or 3 point difference there. Rando, what do you think about this matchup?
Just looking at it, John, I want to let you know, we're in for a nail biter. So, boys, this, if you're looking to sit on the couch on Sunday, turn on Red Zone, you want to see a bunch of high-profile names scoring points, this is the game to watch. We're going to be starting at 1 o'clock, and we're going all the way to Monday night with Malik Nabers for the Olyphants. John, potentially you could have this one wrapped up come Monday night.
Those are my favorite games. I love when that happens.
Barring a Jordan Mason standout performance on Sunday night, I mean we might have a clear-cut winner. Oh, this one's a tough one to call.
So he doesn't have any players Monday night right now?
In the starting lineup, no. Brian's latest game is Sunday night.
Nice.
I'm trying to see if he has any on his bench. He does not. Ooh, 125.4 to 127.8. Man, you want to talk about edging.
Boy, would I.
Brian, you come on my friend's show. The house that John Dillard bit. The house that John Dillard has so graciously welcomed me into to run my mouth week to week, and you insult him last week. And guess what, Brian? People don't fucking forget. You're a cock tease. You're a leech in this league. I swore I would never call you the devil. Brian, Brian, Brian.
I think that was part of the trade, actually.
Right, it was part of the trade. I didn't call him the devil.
You
I
didn't. You
just
didn't. That was
not
very
allowed to
clever.
call him.
Just like the devil.
John, it is a
Rando,
tough one.
Rando.
This is another one that tugs at the heartstrings.
You turning heel or what? Come on.
John, the matchups don't lie. In every category. It's a wash. I'm going with the Iron City Olyphants. It is the year of the Olyphant, baby. He made enough moves. He's in a win now mode. He's going for ring number two. I'm taking the Olyphants.
Man, Rando. Well, there's no way I can beat that, and there's no way that I want to. I want to keep it short and simple. I'm with you. Take myself. This is a big matchup. This will determine who has to wear a still yet to be determined Goofy t-shirt on Saturday at the SRK. So you'll, for those of you who aren't in the league, you'll find out who the loser was at the SRK.
John, does it have to be comically too small or can it be comically too large?
Ideally, it would fit relatively comfortably since we will have to wear this out. But I'd say large is better than small.
I have a old 3XL black and gold Paul Lumber shirt I'm willing to donate to the cause. And it's a Carhartt, so it runs a size bigger, I believe.
I feel like I'd be so proud to wear that.
Like a dress.
I know, I'll just have to complete the fit. I'll wear like boots and jeans and a hard hat all weekend. Do you guys wear hard hats?
Scrunch it up or something. It'll be way too big.
Do you guys wear hard hats at the lumber yard?
No hard hats. They're in the trucks.
What's safety like in that operation?
The number one rule is safety second.
And what's one?
Safety second.
Okay. When was the last accident? Can you tell us that? Do you have like a board that says?
I don't know. What do you consider an accident? What, that you bumped a garage door? Then I could say it's been 3 days. One of the guys knocked the wheels of the garage door out with a forklift on Friday. Does that count as an accident?
I'd say no.
I say no, so I'd say it's been at least, when was COVID, 20... So 4 years without a major catastrophe. Let's leave it at that.
That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone except for the running fools. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. We'll be back next week, and until then, I'll see you in the Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City!